Good to be here with you this morning. My name is Pastor Norland Van Beek. I'm currently the director at Inspiration Hills. Been a few years ago, but I did spend some time with here at I was going to say Emmanuel. Whoa, I was there too. Calvin. I was going to look up the years, but that I don't want to know anymore. It's good to be back with you. I know that I have some big shoes to fill. Troy was here last week, his cousin, so we have very similar stories, and we went into ministry later in life, and both were blessed to have time spent with you guys, so look forward to worshiping with you this morning. Got a couple of announcements. Right after the morning service, the guys, men, quick meeting after church, back of church, so I'm sure you'll get corralled if you forget, but please try and remember. Also, ladies of Calvin, sign-up sheet for Calvin Women's Appreciation Dinner. So please get signed up for that. I think that's all the announcements that I have. I want to welcome everybody. Would you please stand if you're able? The psalm says, "From where does my help come from? My help comes from the name of the Lord. He calls us and gathers us together as his people to worship him in spirit and in truth." Let's sing together. I'm just going to turn over these guys. May the peoples praise you.
Thank you.
receive God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we've been greeted by God, let's turn to each other and greet each other in the name of the Lord. Cool. Please have a seat. Let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, we are once again reminded of our need for you. Lord, we pray that as we gather here this morning, that you would quiet our hearts and our minds to find rest and hope and peace in you. Lord, we praise you that you are a God who does provide and who does intercede for us. We praise you for a God who lives with us. Lord, we also know that we need you not only in our weaknesses, in our living, but we need you as our rescuer and as our Savior. And we praise you for your gifts of grace and mercy and peace. Lord, we praise you for the privilege of knowing and learning and growing in your word. We pray for those who, Lord, who are being persecuted, even in our country, Lord, and in others, where your word, Lord, brings persecution, where your word brings fear. So we continue to praise you for the privileges and the opportunities that we have, not only to worship, but to serve you and to serve others, and to do that openly and freely. Lord, we pray that you would equip us. Equip us for the eyes and ears to see your spirit at work. Lord, prompt us to know where and when to meet and provide needs for those around us, especially, Lord, in our community. Lord, we pray that you would use this body, Lord, for your honor and for your glory, for your witness and testimony of who you are, and not only their love for you, but your love for them. So, Lord, equip us, guide us, provide for us in every need and in every way. Lord, we have needs among us, some that are known, some that are not. Lord, we pray again for your spirit to come near us, to abide with us, to assure us, Lord, of your power and your presence in our lives. And may we, Lord, then also be dependent on you in surrendering our hearts and our lives to you each and every day. Lord, continue to provide as we begin a new week of work and activities. We pray for wisdom for our teachers. Guide and direct them to instruct our kids. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to provide for us as a nation. We pray for wisdom for our leaders. It's been a rough number of weeks, Lord. We pray again that your truth and your mercy would rain down, and that lives and hearts would be turned to you. And that, Lord, we would be once again a nation who trusts in you, a nation who truly is under you, under your word. Lord, again, we ask for your continued blessing. We know that in and of ourselves, we are unworthy, Lord, of all that you have given us. But again, we praise you for your grace and ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless and strengthen us in your Son. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, we will have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so I understand it's been a while since we've used the form to prepare our hearts. We're going to read that. It's a responsive reading. So let's follow along. As we prepare to celebrate Holy Communion, let us remember that Scripture calls us to examine ourselves before God. We are taught that eating and drinking unworthily brings judgment upon ourselves. Therefore, let us ask God for the proper spirit in which to celebrate the sacrament. Almighty God, before whom can be neither secret thought nor hidden deed, grant us your spirit, that we may know our hearts, that we would know our lives and our inmost thoughts as you know them. Grant us, Lord, your grace, that we may repent sincerely of all our sin, find peace with you through Jesus Christ, and grow in the assurance of salvation in him. May the celebration of our Savior's infinite love and his redeeming death bring joy to us and glory to you.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the atoning power of our Savior's death, and for our share in his victory over sin. Open our hearts to hear the prayer of this celebration, and these things which are made, establish us in our hope, and confirm us in our love. In his name, amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us first examine our faith. We confess the truth of God as taught by Scripture and summarized in all the creeds of the Church. By this faith, we take to ourselves Christ and all his benefits, for that for those to live is Christ.
Lord God, author and issuer of all true believing, confirm our faith as we prepare for the whole
sacrament. Let us further examine our hope. All Christian hope rests upon the finished work of Christ as Savior. The Holy Gospel teaches that our righteousness is in him alone. God's children rely wholly upon the merits of Christ, find in him their strength and victory, and confidently expect his return in glory. They look forward to the celebrating this Holy Supper anew with him in the kingdom. They will surely be received by God at his table.
Most merciful Father, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may on be whole.
Let us also examine our love, both for God and our neighbors. Remember the great and first commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us consciously determine to live a life of loving service to him through Christ our Lord. Let us also search ourselves to determine whether we love our neighbors as Christ commands. Do we unselfishly live for the welfare of others? Do our lives reflect the godly virtues of obedience, fidelity, integrity, justice, humility, and contentment? Do we seek reconciliation with our neighbors in all cases of offense?
Dear Father, daily increase in us the greatest gift of all, our Christian love.
If these marks of spiritual life are not evident in us, we may not presume to approach this table. Those, therefore, who live in self-righteousness, who hope in works or virtues of their own, or who do not show love to God and neighbor, have no true place at the Lord's Supper. Yet we should not be deterred by any sin lingering within against our will. As we find faith and hope and love within us, we ought gladly to obey our Lord's command and come with full expectation to God's open house of mercy.
Gracious God, we humbly adore you in Christ our Lord. We thank you for reconciling us to yourself in him. We rejoice in being received as your children.
And ask the deacons to come forward as probably just an awesome way of responding in taking an offering. We've prepared ourselves and looked at faith, hope, and love, and we're called to respond, and that's done in how we give of ourselves. And to give an offering, even in money, is an awesome way to respond, to show our dedication and love of God. And it reminds us of our dependence on him. As we give, we are merely returning what he has given us. And again, depend on him to prepare and provide for us in the future. So as we take the offering, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Jordan destination.
If you have a Bible with you, or one in the pew, I know it'll be on the screen as well, but I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, it may be a familiar verse. It's the verse with the vine and the branches. Each year at camp we have a theme and a word. In this coming year, the verse is going to be verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him gets us to the word abide. And our NIV translation uses the word remain, but most other translations use the word abide. So we're going to dive into a little bit what it means to abide. And it was a good coming here to preach on abide was a good way of me getting things get together for summer camp. So thank you for prompting me to get going on it. We're going to be putting an article in the next newsletter about abide, and we're doing that together. So it is a word that has a depth of meaning. I don't always like to be very critical of the NIV, but every once in a while they put words in that it's like, not quite sure I would put that word in there. But remain is not a bad word by any means, but to abide has just a whole lot more of a dimension to it. And I pray that we'll see that together as we dive in. So I'm going to read from the, the English Standard Version, and that's fine. It's different than what you're going to read on the screen even. But then you'll see the difference where the word abide versus the word remain come in. So also I should, before I read it, the context of this verse. If you look at your Bible and you look at the headings previous to this, you know that they're in the upper room, that they are about to celebrate communion. Jesus has told them of his betrayal in chapter 14, and he begins to comfort them. That's the heading. And then Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, and then comes chapter 15, gives them a metaphor that gives them something to hold on to. I'm guessing that after all that, they were pretty shook up about what their future was going to be, but specifically even what was going to happen to Jesus. So these are words meant for comfort. Beginning of verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command to you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. So the word abide. Again, the context, there's a lot of things going on in this chapter. There's a lot of things going on in the disciples' lives. There's a lot of things that are happening around them. And Jesus tells them to abide. So the first thing I want to do is just look at the word abide. And me in that day is the Greek word for abide. That doesn't mean a whole lot, other than if you look in the Greek, you're going to find that first part of the word, the me in, is a root that's used in a lot of different places in the Bible. Whenever Jesus talks about walking with him, about spending time together, it has that root, so that there's this companionship, this loyalness, friendship, community, all are a part of that word. So again, it's a lot more than just to remain side by side. Let's go to the next slide. We are putting together acronym for abide. So we're going to run through that. A is to acknowledge and accept and receive the assurance. So it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes to us so that we're able to acknowledge who God is, to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then to have that assurance that he will abide with us. And this is the verse that we've put along with it. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? That's what happens when we accept Christ as Lord. We invite the Spirit to take ownership of our hearts. Go to the next slide. B, to be still and know. That's a pretty familiar verse as well. In that verse, we're reminded that too often we're too busy to really notice that God's even in our lives. So God's calling us in Psalm 46 to be still and know that he is God, that we are not. And that's part of abiding again, part of that surrender and allowing God to do his work in and through us. Next slide. Next one is to invite. Many of us have invited Jesus into our lives and can claim him as our Savior. But in our culture today, more and more, to understand that to invite Jesus into our hearts and lives is more than having him as our Savior. It's about making him Lord of our life. It's about having him govern what we do, what we say, living in obedience, inviting him in so that he will be the leader of our heart and our life. Next slide. D is to die to self. Dwell in Jesus. You, however, are controlled not by the spirit, sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. It's that whole idea again of dying to self, making God more, reducing our place and our, basically our face, so that Christ is visible, is seen in all that we do and everything that we say. Next slide. And then again, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Not having that power of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. So that's a little bit of how we're going to present this to the kids and allow them to process that. And we'll go through that a little bit more in detail. But so much of our world and our culture wants to be apart from God. We've done a pretty good job of pushing him out of the courtrooms. We've pushed him out of living as a nation. Part of that starts with how we each live ourselves. Living empowered by our own work, or our own ability, our own authority, rather than remaining in the vine. There's a couple things about a vine dresser that I didn't have a clue about until I had a son who lived in Fresno in the middle of wine country. And we were able to go out to a vineyard and a vine dresser took us out for a little tour. And when you read that verse, it makes sense, you know, that you have to prune things. To have a tree, apple trees, you're probably a little bit more familiar with an apple tree and how important it is you prune that. And if that is pruned, how much more fruit that will produce. But I had no idea when they talk about pruning a vine, oh my word, you'd swear there was nothing left to grow. I mean, it's just sticks that are left. You have that main branch coming up, and then just a few, or that's the vine, actually. I always get that backwards because that's what's in the ground. And then the branches go out from that, and they have them tied up on wires because they're fragile. And they want them young and pliable. They don't want the old branches. They want the young branches to grow around that wire. And then they almost take everything off of that so that there are no additional branches. And I didn't see it happen, but my son Nick said it's they grow so fast you could almost stand there and watch the bud come off the vine or off the branch. He said it's just incredible. This picture is a progression of pictures, and I, for whatever reason, it wouldn't let me download the first one, but the first picture I had was just of that vine, just a naked branch, basically. And just in a couple of months' time, this is there. And it's so important that they put have those branches grow on the wire, because if they don't, they lay on the ground, and then they get moldy, and then the fruit gets rotten really fast. So they pick up the branches up off the ground. The vine is what supplies the nourishment, and the fruit comes, and it comes abundantly. This is just this branch or vine is only about that tall, and there's probably 4 or 5 5-gallon buckets of grapes in about a 3-foot area that come off of that small area of a branch and a vine. And again, it's just an awesome picture of how the vine dresser or the gardener tends to the branches, tends to the vine. If any part of that gets disconnected or falls to the ground, it's ruined. It doesn't produce fruit. It doesn't produce good fruit. It's a good picture of what it means to remain or to abide. Being cut off from God, there's no way we can produce good fruit. Being cut off from what nourishes us, we can maybe last, 3 weeks, 4 weeks without food and water. God continues to provide for us. He continues to nourish us. And one of those ways he nourishes us is at his table. And to participate in the Lord's Supper and being fed and having God and the Holy Spirit dwell within us is another visual of as we eat and as we drink, and it nourishes our bodies, so does Christ nourishes us, our hearts and our minds and our souls. And who doesn't need to be nourished? We all need to be nourished. We all need the work of God in our hearts and our lives, whether things are going well or not so well. This past week, and I have permission to tell this story, we had our single moms retreat at the Hill. This was our 5th one already. That's mind-blowing in itself. Some of you know, while we were at Ironton Christian Reformed Church, our daughter Kelsey went to Honduras and got pregnant there while teaching and came home and became a single mom. We watched her struggle, and it was a struggle. She lived with us while Damien, our grandson, was born. But then, before he was a year old, she took a job in Council Bluffs and moved down there, and no family close by. And that was even more difficult. And to see and hear her struggle was painful. She wasn't, I can't judge her spiritual condition, but she was wounded. She didn't know where she fit. She didn't know if God loved her anymore, which, again, we told her over and over. And she had a hard time finding her place in that way of abiding in God. And that's really the spark that allowed us to get the single mom's ministry going at Inspiration Hills. To fill in that story, she has become a part of that and a living testimony of what that transition and how that can change. She came first to attend. She became a table leader. And now she's, this year she didn't speak, but her message is always about finding the end of yourself so you can rest in the beginning of God. And it's all about surrender. And I want to tell you another little story about a gal that came this past year. Her name was Sarah. Sarah's about 30 years old. Grew up in a Christian home. Her father died at a young age. Had a stepfather. Got along pretty well with him. They ended up getting pregnant, married, and several months after the marriage, her husband abandoned her, even before the baby was born. She became a single mom, and things were going pretty good, but she found a man who seemed to love God, and they were pretty close to getting married, and he began to abuse her. And she was scared, frantically scared, of being alone again, and began to fall into some of his bad habits, including taking drugs. Well, she had the baby. The baby had no defects or issues from the drugs, praise the Lord. Well, one night they were out partying, and the baby was home with a babysitter, and she started taking meth. And she said, I knew I was out of control. And in desperation of what I might do, she turned herself in. And immediately, the state took her baby away. She spent several nights in jail, was sent to a rehab place to be evaluated. And she said, in that place, all the things that I was taught as a child, all the things that I had been learning and doing was getting further and further away from God. And on the wall in her room was the words, abide in me. And I didn't understand what that meant. And so she got down on her hands and knees and began to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to abide in her, for the Lord to be the Lord of her life. That was a little over a year ago. And she came to the retreat. Her goal is to get her child back. And there are several times where I could have and had been tempted to do something kind of underhanded to kind of speed up the process. Her boyfriend, of all things, got custody of the baby. Crazy deal. But she said she got together with some people that invited her, didn't know them from anybody, but invited her to stay in their home. And she said, I'll never forget the words that this man spoke to her. Says, you come and live with us. you're going to abide in safety. So for 3 months, she lived with them. She was instructed by the lady, the host. She memorized all of John 15. She is what I don't know of anybody that has modeled that better in abiding and waiting on the Lord to do miraculous things. Yesterday, I got a text from her. She has her baby back. She was given full custody yesterday afternoon. Her seven-month-old child is now her own again. You can imagine her heart right now. I got goosebumps even talking about it. And the underneath, again, was the words that she put, that are our scripture verse. And she put it in her words, I have abided in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has abided in me, and I will forever rest in him. Those are her words. The song, Abide in Me, is an old hymn that was written by a man. You can go to the next slide. I don't know if I have that picture up here or not. Henry, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. If you're French, it's Leté. But I think he's an Englishman. He was a pastor in a church. He had tuberculosis, and in the end of his life, he went down to Italy to live in a warmer climate, and he was struggling with his health. He had gone for a long walk on the beach and reading the words, Lord, I will rest in you. Went back to his room and penned the words for the song, Abide in Me, and sent them off to the man next to him, William Monk, who was a friend from his church back home in England. William wrote the tune, and 3 months later was the first time it was ever sung in public at Henry's funeral. But his words in the song, or in the introduction of the song, he said, you may find these words comforting when you're facing death, but they're even more comforting when you're facing life. He was notorious for telling his people to abide in the love of Jesus Christ, to abide in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to be in, but also to live into the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is where it gets a little confusing, and I honestly don't understand how it works, but Christ calls us to abide in him. That kind of makes sense. We can visualize us being a part of a sanctuary. The verse about our bodies being temples of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to dwell in us. But how then do we abide in Christ? How do we become part of that visual picture of resting in him? And I wasn't sure how to answer that question, and then I had the opportunity to talk to a few gals after Sarah had spoken. I said, so how do you abide in Christ? And these are the single moms. And again, whatever stereotype you might have in your mind, there's any one of 100 different ways they've become single moms, either through divorce, never been married, widowed, abandoned, runaway. But they use the word of God. When Jesus or David's talking about finding rest, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's what it means to abide. Because the shadow in that darkness is only a shadow. It's not complete darkness. When the shepherd brings us to green pastures, we're abiding in him, resting in him. When Isaiah talks about being taken away on the wings of eagles to soar, Jeremiah talks about the hand and finding rest and protection. That's what it means to rest and abide in Jesus. I'm not sure what you're facing. I have no clue. But Jesus knows. The Holy Spirit knows. And this verse goes on in Jesus' words to ask whatever you want in my name, and it will be given to you. And of course, reading that, and you're talking to this to single moms, many of them will say, well, where was God when? Or why did God allow this? Why did God do that? My response to them is to look into the Word. Jesus' own word says he has come into the world, that he has overcome the world, but in this world we will have trouble. He talks about ways that we are strengthened through trials and temptations. And I'm not sure if you ever watched the TV show Forged in Fire. That's the word trial in the New Testament, is forged. And if you know anything about forging, you're literally beating the daylights out of that metal, melting it down, hitting it hard, and reforming it. That's not a very nice picture. It's not a very comforting picture, except that to be forged by a blacksmith, to be pruned by a gardener, is to know that God is at work in our lives, that he is more concerned about our salvation than he is of our comfort. And that's a lot of what these ladies had to come to terms with, that all the things that they're going through, they were headed the wrong direction. And God will use a lot of different means to stop us in our tracks, to repent, which means to about face and go the other direction. That's a call for each of us in each of our lives, to turn and go the opposite direction instead of going away from God, turning and going toward God. I pray that is something we do together. That is something that we celebrate together as we partake of in community, as the Lord nourishes us through the Lord's Supper, as we study God's Word and abide in His strength, in His wisdom, in His truth, so that we will bear much fruit. Let's pray together. Father, we are dependent on Your grace. Lord, You have called us, and we pray, Lord, that we would respond in truth and faith and love and hope, that we may produce fruit of joy and peace and encouragement. Lord, that it would be fruit that will last, that will bring glory and honor to You. Father, we pray that You would search our hearts and know us, that we would be drawn closer to You, and that we would, Lord, abide in You as You abide in us. Father, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a couple slides, if I may, real briefly, buzz through a little bit. I think I did some of this last time when I was here, but just to give you an idea of some of the things we do at the Hill. Obviously, we do summer camp. Inspiration Hills was built in 1975 and started off doing retreats then. Our mission is to provide an environment where people will come to know and grow in Christ. You can just let it go, Jeremy, or I'm going to be here all day. That's for every age group. This is our summer staff and full-time staff. There's about 60 people on there. We have 8 full-time people. And then I'm just going to let it go through the different camps that we have. But our hope and our prayer is that when kids come, that they have an opportunity to separate themselves from whatever pressures, whatever things that they're going on, and really spend time with God and have mentors and godly young people that can speak into their lives. More than anything that we hear from elders, and they'll tell us most of the kids that come to make profession of faith, the number one thing that the kids say was instrumental in their faith formation and taking a stand to profess Christ was their experience at camp. And we praise God for that, and so we continue to do that. We want that to be part of everything that we do. We've got a lot of different retreats coming up very soon. This is our retreat season. I think there's a newsletter in your mailboxes of all the things that are coming up. Please take advantage of them. We're here to help equip the churches, not be the church. And so anything that we can do to help equip you, to encourage you, beyond the summer camp, we would love to have you participate. And if you have ideas of things that we should do or could do, we're also looking for those ideas as well. And this is the verse that all of that is based on. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. To him be glory both now and forever. Let's stand together and sing Abide With Me. Me. Father, I pray that as we come before you, that you would strengthen us by your power, that you would dwell and abide in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being that we are rooted and established in love, your love, that we would have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.